Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Okay, glad that y'all are here this morning, watching from online. Welcome, glad you're doing that. If I say this, you know, here at St. Luke's, we want everybody to have a place where they belong, a place where they can grow, a place where they can be loved and love others. That's what all these groups are about. And so if you need help finding a place, we got a place. If we don't have a place, we'll create a place. We just started a new young adult class upstairs during Sunday school hours. So, and if you're 20-something, 30-something, you're invited. You're welcome, all right? Anyway, just want all of this to say, you know, find a place. Find a place, a community where you can grow in Christ, all right? Y'all know the old story. Let's see how it goes. There was this guy, and he was out hiking, and all of a sudden he fell off this cliff, and as he was falling down, he gets this branch, and he grabs hold of the branch. He's holding on. Help, help, anybody up there, help. And he hears his voice. Yes, this is God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Show me. Tell me what I got to do to get down from here. Help, help. He says, let go of the branch. Is there anybody else up there, right? So today, we're talking about what it means to let go, what it means to really be someone who's surrendered to, who gives themselves to Jesus, what it means to be a disciple. So hope you enjoy. Lord God, this morning, we invite you here into this house because we long to have you real and alive in us. Lord, we're here this morning not just to go through the motions, not just to warm a pew. God, we're here this morning to receive and experience your presence. Come, Lord Jesus, have your way with us today. In your name we pray, amen. The big idea this morning about being a disciple of Jesus is that disciples of Jesus belong to Jesus. Disciples of Jesus attach to Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are in relationship with Jesus. So this morning, three truths about Jesus and his disciples way back then and Jesus and us now. So first truth about Jesus and them and Jesus and us is that Jesus pursues us. Jesus comes seeking after us. Jesus comes to us, all the way to us. Jesus initiates encounter with us so that we will be his disciples. Look at Luke chapter 5. We just saw it. Look at it. Luke chapter 5, 1 through 3. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from Simon's boat. In the 1950s and 60s in our little town of Lorenzo, it seemed like everybody went to church. In the family that my brother Kerry and I grew up in, we had what I would call a form of godliness without ever knowing the power of godliness. Kerry graduated from high school in 1969, and when he came to Texas Tech, he probably went to more parties than he did classes. He hung out with the rodeo crowd, the hippie crowd, the ag crowd, and whatever other crowd was having a party. In many ways, Kerry's life seemed to be so much crazy fun, but in many more real ways, truth be told, his life was coming apart at the seams. During those Tech years, Kerry worked at Bryant Farm Supply here in Lubbock, and Mr. Bryant was a member of St. Luke's, and he was a guy that truly loved Jesus, and he had a parts man that worked for him by the name of Ben Perry, and Ben was a Jesus-loving, Spirit-filled believer who happened to be Kerry's direct supervisor and boss. So no matter how hungover Kerry was at work, all he got over and over again from his workplace was the authentic love and truth of Jesus. One night there was a big beer bust at Kerry's house, and all kinds of people were there, all kinds of party elements were there, all kinds of things legal and not legal were there. And that night, in the midst of the party going on all around him, my brother kind of went a little crazy. He ran everybody out of the house, and he slammed the door to his bedroom, and Carrie got up in his bed. They thought he was going to hurt himself. But that night, Carrie got up in his bed. He beat his chest. He said, Lord God, I don't even know what to call you. Lord, I just know I need help, and I need you. And in that moment, the very heart of God and hand of God and spirit of God reached down, came down, and saved my brother Carrie. And Carrie's life was never the same again. How did you become a Christian? How did Jesus become real to you? Well, the thing I understand from Peter and Andrew's story and from Carrie's story and my story and most stories I hear is that there's always a story before the story. A story of all kinds of details that God put together, put in place before or so that we could say yes to him. A story of the great hound dog of heaven chasing us down. We call it, here at St. Luke's, prevenient grace. The grace that goes before, the grace from the time of our conception to the time of our conversion, the grace that gets us to the place of being able to say yes to Jesus. You need to know that in all things, good things, bad things, struggling things, hard things, Jesus is seeking after you. Everybody knows Billy Graham. In his lifetime, Billy preached over 400 crusades in 185 countries to an estimated 215 million people. Everybody knows Billy Graham, but have you ever heard of Albert McMakin? In 1934, McMakin was a 24-year-old farmer who had recently come to faith in Jesus. And man, he was so fired up and full of the Holy Spirit that he filled his old pickup truck up every night with other kids, with people, and he took them to a meeting to hear about Jesus. There was a good-looking farmer's son that McMakin felt a strong call to try to influence, to try to get to that meeting. But this young man was resistant and hard against anything having to do with Christianity. Eventually, Albert McMakin managed to convince this young man to come. And the way he did it was not by letting him ride in the back of the truck with everybody else. He didn't want to do that. But by letting him drive his old pickup truck. So when they arrived, Albert's guests decided to go in, and he was truly spellbound by the presence of Jesus. And he began to have thoughts about God that he'd never had his entire life. And that young man went back again and again until one night he went forward and he gave his life to Jesus. That young man, the driver of McMakin's truck, that was Billy Graham. Even Billy Graham had a story before his story. You see, this is what I know about every single one of us here this morning. This is what I know about everyone in our lives close to us who are currently living their lives without Jesus. I know and I believe that Jesus is pursuing every single one of us and that Jesus is pursuing every single one of them. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Listen now, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Second truth about Jesus and his disciples, about Jesus and us, is that Jesus connects with us. Jesus engages us where we are. Jesus makes himself relevant to our lives so that we will let him be real in our lives. Go back to Luke chapter 5. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, you may be a good teacher, but I'm the good fisherman. I mean, you may know your theology, but I know the fish, right?" But he said, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break, so that they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. Jesus wanted to connect to a fisherman, so he came to the lake. Jesus wanted to connect to a fisherman, so he came to his boat. Jesus wanted to connect to a fisherman, so he used fish to make his point. Now, Peter might have heard Jesus preach a whole bunch of sermons, but Jesus became real to Peter when those fish began to fill that net. Remember that old foundational principle that before people care what you have to say, right? Before people care what you have to say, they have to know that you care. In my own life as a 16, 17-year-old teenager, I was searching for something to give me purpose and meaning in life. And the only thing that scratched my itch was winning. So I tried to win at everything I did, football and basketball and academics and FFA and golf and tiddlywinks. It didn't matter. Because in my mind and heart, as wrong as this was, in my mind and heart, I was only as good as whatever the last victory was. I had a hole in my soul that was growing bigger and bigger by the day, bigger both with every victory and also especially with every defeat. And so, Jesus met me at a church camp surrounded by 400 other teenagers dealing with all kinds of identity issues. Jesus met me at one-way camp where he showed me, right? He showed me that what I really needed was someone, a capital S, someone who would love me. Love me not because I did something, but just love me. Jesus met me at that camp. Jesus met me where I was. And it became crystal clear to me that my life would never have meaning and purpose unless he was the very center of it. I mean, I could try and put all the stuff of the world and all the trophies and all the achievements and all the money and all the people. I could try to fill this void with that stuff. But God and God alone, Jesus and Jesus alone could fill me with his love, his grace, and his presence. And if you've ever watched The Chosen, that's what happens again and again in each episode. Jesus has these encounters where he meets the real needs of real people. And that's what happens, by the way, again and again in a church that's all about his business and his mission. Jesus still shows up and has these life-transforming encounters where he meets the real needs of real people. Jesus came to us. Jesus came into our world. Jesus became God with skin on so that we might know that he gets us, that he understands us. Y'all, where does Jesus want to meet you? I mean, right here on Sunday morning in this church, yes. But he wants to meet you Monday morning at 10 a.m. at work. And he wants to meet you Thursday night at 7 p.m. when some huge crisis or conflict is happening in your family. Where does he want to meet you? He wants to meet you where you are. Jesus wants to meet the real needs of real people. We call it grace. Grace is the unconditional, unmerited love of God that meets us where we are and then takes us where we need to be. Every single one of us here this morning, all of us, we have a point of need. We have a place of brokenness. We have an area of sinful and selfish rebellion where we need Jesus to show up and make himself powerfully and lovingly known to us. For Peter, that was a boat full of fish. And he fell on his face before Jesus and he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The third truth about Jesus and his disciples, about Jesus and us, is that Jesus invites us. Jesus calls us into relationship with himself. Jesus called the disciples 2,000 years ago, and he calls his disciples this morning to follow me, to be with me, to come with me. An ancient Jewish blessing says this: "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." In other words, may you stay so close to Jesus that you get covered in the dust of his sandals. Again and again, Jesus says, come after me, come with me, come and follow me. Matthew 4, 19 to Peter and Andrew, Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. To those who are hurting, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mark 10, to the crowds and disciples, Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Mark 10, to the rich young ruler, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And one thing you lack, Jesus said, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, detach from all that, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. To all of us here this morning, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Forever wants to save his life, he's got to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So y'all, what's clear, please don't miss this. What's clear in all of these invitations is that Jesus is not inviting us to show up at a church program. Jesus is not inviting us to just go to a Bible study. Jesus is not inviting us, to pack up and go to seminary. He's not inviting us to join a religion. Jesus is inviting us to a relationship with himself. Come unto me, Jesus says. So how's your relationship with Jesus this morning? Scale from 1 to 10. It's a 1. It's been kind of hard, and I've been kind of ducking and hiding from him. Or maybe it's a 3. Yeah, I've heard about him. I know about him. Or maybe it's a 4 or 5. Yeah, we're kind of acquaintances. We see each other and wave. Or maybe it's a 7. Maybe you're his friend. Or maybe 8, 9, 10. You belong to him. He's your savior. And he's your Lord, and your life revolves around him. Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? So look again at what happened with Peter and Andrew. Go back to what we saw, and we'll read it. But this is in Luke 5, verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. Matthew 4, 20. At once they left their nets and followed him. See, here's the deal. If you want to attach yourself to Jesus, you have to be willing to detach yourself from everything else, from the things of this world. Peter, Andrew, James, and John left everything. They left their boats. They left their careers. They left their hometown. They left their families. They let go of everything so that they could grab hold of the one and only thing, the one and only one who could give them life and life abundantly. This morning, what do you need to let go of? What do you need to detach yourself from so that you can fully grab hold of Jesus? This is a picture of Shep. I think it's at his 4th birthday. And I don't remember what happened, but something catastrophic. I think he'd fallen off the trampoline or something like that. All I know is that I had him and he had me. This is another pic of us at the top of a 10,000-foot mountain range and outside of Lake City, Colorado. And everyone else is fishing. Shep and I were getting the fire ready to cook. And all week long, Shep had not been able to take a nap. And he was getting to be one fussy, unhappy camper. But there on that mountain, created by God, there on that mountain, in the presence of that wonderful, wonderful, that wonderful, wonder-making God, little Shep found peace in my arms. And it was my joy, it was my pleasure to hold him and keep him warm and let him nap in my arms for over an hour that day on top of that mountain. Now, if you know Shepherd, he can be quite the excitable and maybe even out of control kid, but when I get to see him, that 10-year-old boy pounces like Tigger the Tiger in my arms, still to this day. And he just grabs hold of Pappy, and I grab hold of him. You know what? He doesn't stay near as long as he used to. Nowadays, he's got screens and games and friends and other priorities besides Pappy's embrace. I wonder if that's something that's happened with you in Jesus. Other things, other priorities, other commitments have resulted in you moving from His embrace. Instead of finding yourself detaching from the world and attaching to Jesus, you too often have found yourself detaching from Jesus and attaching or going after or grabbing hold the gusto of the world. Where are you this morning? With Him or somewhere else? If you've lived around Lubbock long enough, you probably have heard the story of Cortez when he landed on the shores of Veracruz in 1519. Cortez took a small army with him so that he could take and conquer the well-known treasure of the Aztec Empire. This treasure had been defended for over 600 years despite various attempts from a much larger and much well-equipped armies. So prior to getting to the shore, Cortez had explained to his men how their lives would be changed forever after their successful mission, after they had conquered, after they were victorious. So when the boats arrived at shore, the men stood ready to fight for the treasure, and Cortez made an unexpected move. He told the men, "Turn around." And the men turned around, look at the boats. They saw the boats. The boats were anchored just off the shore. And then Cortez uttered three simple words that would change the course of history. Cortez commanded, "Burn the boats." Following these words, Cortez explained to his men that they were either going to take the treasure and return home in the Aztec boats, or they were going to die trying. He backed his men into a proverbial corner and turned inspiration into desperation. In time, Cortez and his men not only took the treasure, but they also conquered the entire Aztec Empire. Here's what you need to know this morning. When it comes to your relationship with Jesus, when it comes to you detaching from all the things of this world and attaching yourself wonderfully and powerfully to Jesus, nobody is going to burn your boats for you. You and you alone can make the choice to let go of this world so that you can fully embrace and follow Jesus. You and you alone, brothers and sisters, my fellow disciples, you and you alone can let go of all the stuff, all the sin, all the brokenness, so you can grab hold of Him. My fellow disciples, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you choose to be all His. Now is the day when you choose to let go of all the stuff and all the sin and all the struggles so that you can truly grab hold of Jesus. Now's the day when you detach. Detach from whatever has you hunkered down so you can attach yourself to Jesus. Lord God, this morning, you know what we're facing. You know what we're dealing with. You know what's really going on. And so we need your help, Jesus. We need you to come to us just like you came to Peter. We need you to make yourself known in such a powerful, clear way that, Lord, we just fall on our face and we're ready to go wherever you go. We're ready to be your disciple. Not talk theology. You know, not talk things of God. But Jesus, we're really ready to be yours. And for you to be ours. Lord, I pray this morning that you will come. Lord, there's all kinds of things we've been trying to get value out of, with all kinds of things we've been trying to fill ourselves with. But Lord Jesus, you and you alone can truly fill us. So come today, Holy Spirit, right now, speak to our hearts. Let today be the day. Just like that seashore by the Sea of Galilee. Lord, that was the day when Peter and Andrew would never be the same again. Just like in my brother Carrie's bedroom, that was the day that he would never be the same again. Just like that church camp in Cedar Canyon, that was the day when I would never be the same again. Lord, I pray for that kind of day to be made real for all of us here this morning. Y'all, as we sing our closing song, the altars are open. Come, get down. Get down like Peter got down and give yourself to Jesus. Christ in you, that is the hope of glory. A life filled with hope comes from a life that's filled with Jesus. And by the way, when Jesus puts his embrace on us, he's not letting go. I mean, we may stiff arm or squeeze out, but he in his embrace, that's forever. But it's not just forever in heaven someday. It's for right here, right now, today. There's a movie out on Netflix on Friday. It was the number one thing. It's called The Hill, and it's a story of a guy named Ricky Hill who, I mean, overcame all kinds of stuff to play professional baseball. It's a great story. It's got a lot of a Christian theme to it, and the issue is this dad is just hardcore about, you know, you can either Jesus or baseball. But see, for Ricky, doing Jesus was baseball. I mean, when he swung the bat, man, he was so alive. Everything that he did on the baseball field was all about the Lord. God wants to use you. I mean, right? If we want the world to be changed out there, the kingdom of God to come out there, then we got to let him make us his disciple in here. Starts with us. The world is changed out there because we are changed in here. Lord, make it so. Let this be a church, Lord, that's not made of attenders. You didn't tell us go and make attenders or go and make Methodists. You called us to go and make disciples. So I pray for every person here, young, old, rich, poor, male, female, for every person here to be your disciple. Jesus, we belong to you, and we praise you, Jesus, that you belong to us. In your name, Lord, amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.